flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here.
Grandma!
Patrick Harris with you. No Joe Fisher tonight, for we have traded him to the Lakers to the Mavericks, for a first-round pick and Luka Doncic. So welcome, Luka Doncic, to the show today.
Grandma!
Apparently, it doesn't take much to get Luka Doncic, and, I jumped at had an opportunity to set this franchise up for the next 15 years. You know, Luka, I just want to say, if you like beer, I like beer too, my friend.
I don't know any other Slovenian words besides Gremo. That is the translation, according to Google, for let's go in Slovenian. And I don't know any other word in Slovenian. What about just hello?
Ola. I'm going to go with ola.
Zdravo. That is just hello. Yeah, you got to say it with that Eastern Bloc kind of accent, that grungy just.
If you pretend you have a Russian accent, I think that accent will work in this country for Eastern European.
Now, forgive me.
In my country, vodka drink you.
Forgive me for my ignorance, because I know that some of the Balkan countries.
Oh, I love that you threw out Balkan. Yeah, you know your geography.
Well, no, I don't. That's what I'm trying to say here, is that the Balkan part is like who Russia tried to take over or did and then gave the countries back.
They've done multiple times.
Yes. But then like up north, kind of near Norway and Finland, there is some countries up there that are like, isn't that where Serbia is? Or
you're thinking of like Prussia?
No, I'm thinking, okay, I got the map here. Like Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania.
Georgia is a big one that Russia has always tried to take over, and not Hotlanta, Georgia, but like.
Yes, but.
The country of Georgia.
Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Yeah, they are actually right next to Russia too, but they're more north. They're right below Finland. So they are not considered a Balkan country, But yeah, I'm sure Russia tried to have their hand at them too. At
yeah, you know, I mean, there's countries
all over.
That's
just kind of what they did.
There's countries all over that try to take.
It's kind of what they do. It's kind of their jam even to this day.
Trying to
take over countries.
Trying to take over your hemisphere is huge. I mean, look at us right now. We're trying to do that too.
You know, Russia, do you look at yourself on a map? Do you not see how much land you already have? I'm sure
it's not about that, though.
I'm sure a little bit of it is inhospitable, you know, a little cold in some parts.
Yeah, but you know what?
You can put it on the board!
If we're just trying to compile here, you know, Craig Biggio's in the Hall of Fame, and one would argue he might be the Russia of just compiling. If I can just get enough things in front of me, if Giancarlo hits 70 more home runs, he will have compiled his way to the Hall of Fame.
You know what cracks me up when I'm watching like World War II stuff? I love watching like World War II documentaries.
I do as well on Netflix. My father was really big into it, so I am also big.
They got some good stuff on Netflix, like the greatest events in World War II history in color.
In color.
Oh, yeah.
I love the in color. There was the World War I by Peter Jackson was really good.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I'll have to seek it out. World War II from the front lines is another good one. World War II, I think it's a Road to Glory. World War II, Electric Boogaloo. But what always kills me is when they're like, yeah, Hitler, he tried to, he took over France, and then he made his way into Italy, and then Northern Africa. I'm like, this guy really just thought he was going to be able to just take over the world.
He kind of was successful for a little bit.
I'm like, what an idiot. Like, who has ever in the history of the world just been like, we took it all over.
You know, North Africa looks pretty great right now.
Piece of cake. No problem. No resistance.
It is weird. They never take over like the cool places, except for France. But to France's defense, quote unquote, they've been conquered like 45 times.
Yeah. Also, when I watched it, and it just dawned on me the other day, because I've watched this stuff a lot, and then I literally just asked myself the other day, I was like, what was Spain up to this entire time?
Oh, they're just hanging.
Dude, they're like, yes. they're just kind of like looking out their blinds out the windows like, ooh, that looks pretty messy.
Weren't the Spanish the ones kind of exploring the rest of the world?
They definitely.
Well, back in the day,
yeah, long before World War II, they were probably. That's probably what they're doing.
Christopher Columbus did set sail from Spain.
Hey, there you go.
To come find this amazing country we live in.
Well, that's. I think the Spaniards are the first one that found the Oregon coast in like the 1500s or 1400s or some s like that.
Accidentally, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Were there tariffs on the Panama Canal back then?
What did they call it back then?
They probably called it the Columbus Canal.
No, I actually think they went like.
They got lost
under
for sure.
South America.
Yeah, they got lost multiple times. Like, didn't know where the hell they were.
You're just the dude that cleans the piss buckets, and you're like, guys, I don't think we know where we're going.
The piss is frozen.
They're like, I don't think Captain knows where we are. They're like, shut up,
silencio,
dude. Silencio, por favor.
Yeah,
they did not say please, by the way.
No, they did not.
It cracks me up watching that World War II stuff because it's just Hitler. I mean. He just was on one. And to think, like, you know.
We had crazies everywhere.
You know, I think.
Rommel in North Africa.
You know, I think I'm just going to take over this whole world thing. I think we can do it, right?
What would you do with the world? Like, let's be real. That's where I don't think it's thought out. I think people are like, let's take over the world. What would you do with it?
That's why it's always in movies, because it's unrealistic.
Yeah, do you just...
I'm going to take over the world.
You know, I took over the world, and I'd like to go to Kyoto to see the the flowers bloom there. And when I'm done, I'd like to take in some surf on Ventura Beach.
Let's go to Germany, Polynesia.
Germany,
Polynesia.
Because
we took that over now.
After that,
catch,
you know,
some waves.
Yeah, everything ends up like Trump. It has like Hitler's name on it or German, like whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I hear Bali is great this time of year.
German Bali, that'd be beautiful.
Probably not. Let's just be thankful that...
are the Bahamas as cool as they are if you own the world?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
no,
those
there's
are...
like, there's a thousand other places that have the same views.
Bahamas are still nice, though.
Yeah, those are islands.
Well, yeah, but I
think it's going to be like bombed out and depleted. I think you can still get a solid coconut, you know?
They need, you know, all those like
I don't
really.
Think they have coconuts in Bahamas.
Oh, they got to have coconuts.
All those really
in
crappy rulers need fun tropical places to go visit.
Yeah.
They need vacation spots.
So. You know, it's funny.
I have vacation spots. How many do you have? Let me tell you, I have 75 vacation spots that no one's ever seen. It's like, well, actually, people live there.
They
it's
see them every day,
beautiful.
Sir.
No one's seen vacation spots like mine. What's funny is, you know, people are like, yeah, U.S., they won the World War II. It's like, man, those Russians, though, put in some work.
Put in some work.
Lady snipers.
Hey, I mean, the Russians are a big reason why World War II is World War II.
Yeah. But again, they were our allies.
They were our allies because at the end of the day, USA, USA.
But they did get Berlin first.
They did.
They got Berlin first.
The Blitzkrieg, the whole it's cold AF out here and you ain't going to be able to survive. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Russians. That's why I think we should be homies with the Russians right now.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Come on.
100 years ago, you guys got my back. I got your back.
Remember
right
the
now.
40s?
Unconditionally.
Remember how great it was and how good of friends we were?
You know, I've been paying attention to what's going on with you guys over there, but, you know, you hooked me up 100 years ago. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I always feel like one of the more powerful images or video, though, is when they have FDR and Churchill and Stalin all, like, kicking it together in the yard, all sitting next to each other. Pretty crazy.
They're like, you know, these Hitler Mussolini guys are probably bad news.
They're like, we should probably stop this, you know.
Yeah.
So go World War II being won by the right guys. In the world,
getting higgy with it.
In the world not getting taken over by Hitler.
There's a really good TV series.
From A-Rod.
I think it was an Amazon series called Man in the High Castle, and I believe it was based on a book series.
Basically
based on what you're talking about, Joe, if I think it was either the Japanese or the Germans and Japanese won World War II.
Oh, that's right.
And America was kind of split into this dystopian, like, you know, half Japanese, half German setting, and it was a very interesting series. I don't know if it was like two or three seasons, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, what happens if we got to that point where Japan and Germany just sort of met in the middle, and they're like, so what do we just kind of split things up?
I'm going to push this a little further. I'm a big fan of For All Mankind.
Oh, I love that show.
On Apple TV.
Huge fan as well.
The premise is, as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are about to land on the moon, the first humans to ever land on the moon, they miss it. And the Russians are the first to land on the moon.
Oh, boy.
And so the whole premise of this show is that the Russians landed on the moon first, and the United States have decided to dump insane amounts of money into NASA. And now it's the Cold War in space.
Ah.
And it's absolutely fantastic.
It's a great series.
It's four seasons. Each season has a 10-year gap. They do these little vignettes in between. There is a moment.
You tell me this is on Tubi or something.
It's
I'm
on
be
Apple,
really
Apple
upset.
TV. No, okay. It's on Apple TV. It's right. Very well done. It's very, very well done. But the best part is in the middle of the 10 years, they have these little vignettes of what's going on in America.
Oh, they
so,
do
like,
it so well.
Ted Kennedy is the president. John Lennon was shot but didn't die.
Yeah, they make the world a better place.
In 1988, the Blazers win the NBA Finals
with
their
Michael
star
Jordan.
Point guard, Michael Jordan.
It's a great
really?
Mention.
It's absolutely fantastic. Yes.
They put that in the show?
No, it's just in these little vignettes that they put out as like teasers for the next season.
But they put that in the show that he goes to the Trailblazers?
Yep. Wow. Because he was drafted by the Trailblazers. Because it's this all history thing. It's so good.
That's great.
And it's like Jordan doing
Give me a whole season of that.
It's like Jordan doing his fist pumps in the air, but he's in a Blazer jersey, and it's like Blazers win title in
88. Isn't that the famous, like, what if magazine cover?
I think they
used that, and they just said, oh, Blazers win the championship. It was really cool.
I cannot recommend For All Mankind more. There's a fifth season coming. It's so good. It's so good.
That's that might be worse, watching that show. I might get more mad at that image than Russia getting to the moon first.
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin come back to when they land and come back to
America.
Well,
they were never there.
They're vilified.
They are.
Because they screwed up.
Oh.
There's a scene where they're about to land on the moon and they can't.
Bro, you had one job.
Because it's too dangerous. They'll die if they do. So they pull back and decide not to land. And they come back to America and they're vilified.
Wow.
Because it's like, you guys are a bunch of
cowards.
You know, bees. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wow. You didn't do that.
Didn't,
and the Russians land.
Didn't Russia?
And then the North Koreans come in, and oh man,
it's my
nuts.
God,
it's
that
nuts.
Whole hook.
It's
yeah.
nuts.
Might have to check this out.
Show's good.
You got me hooked.
Show's yeah. really
Were you
good.
We about to ask if the Soviets actually beat us to space, because yes, they did. That is true.
I was going to say, didn't they send a dog or a monkey up there?
They got to like space.
They were the first human in space, yes, yeah. but not on the moon.
And
but
also non-human. Didn't they send a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we faked the moon before they faked the moon.
Very true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Very true.
It's great. They
Hollywood.
Land,
it's Hollywood, baby.
They land the first woman on the moon. It's this huge thing. Oh, it's so good. That
wow.
show's great.
How about that first segment?
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a show for you today. There's yeah. a lot to get to.
More World War II talk coming your way.
More history here for you. We've got a lot to get into. There is a sleeping giant that I think could get real, real scary here in a moment. If you're
Nazi
not paying
Germany?
Attention. No, that'd be the USA. So we'll get into that. Also, have you ever been gaslighted before? Because you might not have ever been gaslighted this hard. We'll get to that at the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, what if your Hall of Fame second baseman needs to play left field? There's so much to get into. But we come back. There is still one last big piece that needs to fall, and I want to talk about where he might land next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
/719 Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Proud owner of a Broncos Sport in the parking lot right now. Please don't rob me.
You know those Broncos, not as spendy as I thought.
I know.
I was
the sports.
My
the big ones. I'm not. I ain't got big souk money.
Yeah, the big ones are a little
ridiculous.
I think it was the sports that I saw, but because I was having a little car trouble last week, and so then I was, let's see
starting to turn the wheels.
And then I saw, car prices, and I was like, okay, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw the Bronco pop up a couple times, like high 30s.
It's not bad.
Like 38, 39 for a base model. I was like, that.
You know, I checked in with my boy Monty over at Vancouver Ford, and he helped me out.
I
love my car. I absolutely love my car.
It's a good looking car.
I'm going to drive it for 200,000 miles minimum.
Sold the truck the other day. Proper oil. You did?
I did.
The Ranger?
Sold the Ranger the other day.
To
my stepdad.
They don't make them like they used to, man.
I sold it to my stepdad.
I'm assuming this is like a mid-2000s.
Oh, so it's still in the
nice
family?
Yeah, I sold it for $1. Okay. I got the dollar in here.
You sold it for $1?
I sold it for $1.
Good for you.
Why'd you sell it?
Because I don't use it. He's going to fix it up, and I told him I have first rights when he wants to sell it.
I'll buy it for $2.
So I'm going to buy it back from him after he does all the work that I can't do on it.
Well, I'm glad it's at least still in the family.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. Shout out to Boss Man.
Why?
Came into my pub today.
Oh, Boss Man Jeff. He's
Jeff
back
Baton Rouge?
No. Boss.
Oh, man. Mr. Cooley.
The big resident Red Sox fan, Ryan Cooley.
I could have sworn that Jeff was in the Carolinas.
No. Big Boss Man.
How
Cooley
about that?
Came in today.
Big swinging D, Ryan
big
Cooley.
Big swinging D.
Did he fire you on the spot in front of everybody?
No, but he paid with 3 different gift cards.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's radio right there.
That's radio right there.
That's right, baby. That's that club money.
I told him it was the same thing that I say to Sacramento. I know you don't listen to my show. He's like, I listen to your show from time to time. I was like, man, you know, we'll talk about DePoto gaslighting in the 8 o'clock hour. You don't need to do it right now, dude. Like, I'm aware.
Well, God bless Ryan Cooley's soul, because Kim Martinez, I don't know if she ever knew the names of either of the shows I worked on.
Big Chicken was in yesterday. Luke Anderson.
Oh, voice of Big Chicken, Big's Chicken.
He was in with some new sales rep. God rest her soul.
Oh, I think it's one of the sales associates.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our...
maybe with
our,
a P?
Like, she's going to hate her
Paulina.
Time here.
Paulina.
Yes.
Shout out Paulina.
Yes.
I gave them grief that nobody sells this show, and they were all kind of like, whoa.
I mean...
Then I said to Paulina, I said, my co-host is Joe Fisher, and he doesn't even sell this show. And she laughed and laughed and laughed.
It's true.
So, Joe, I learned that you're a bag. So thanks, dude.
Hey, it's true. Again, I told you, if I were to make a power rankings of everything that I can sell, this is in the bottom 5 of that power rankings.
The bottom 5? I would like to be...
It's a throw-in.
4th of the 5th.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sports Sunday is below, for sure.
I wasn't saying anything about Sports Sunday. I listened to you on Sunday.
It is...
I did listen to you on Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, we got some news on Saturday night. I was thanking God.
Yeah,
that's
know.
Crazy.
Like, I was stressing Saturday night. Yeah. I'm like, what
You're
the
like,
hell
oh
am
God.
I even talking about?
It's the week off before the Super Bowl. We're hosed.
Like, thank God. Thank you, Luca and Nico Harrison. Thank you so much.
We'll start the baseball conversation off. Guys, there's one last domino that needs to fall. And this feels like an old school kind of Yankee thing. maybe the Mets are the new, like, dysfunctional Yankees of the 2010s, et cetera, that is anybody else actually in the race for Pete Alonso?
Doesn't feel like it.
Right? It doesn't feel like anybody, you know, like, Jordan, I know you have mentioned weeks and months ago that the Mariners should take a run at Pete Alonso. And I agree with you. I actually think Pete would be a great fit in that lineup.
He would.
Well, we'll get into the 8 o'clock hour.
We'll push that one back.
But there were teams that we talked about that made sense for Pete to go to. But this entire time, he is not signed because he doesn't like what the Mets are offering him. But who the hell else is offering anything to Pete Alonso?
I don't know. Maybe I just haven't done enough. I don't do a lot of research, but I haven't. I haven't heard. I haven't seen. Like,
I created
hey,
that, by the way.
Hey, this team is looking. This team is interested. It just seems
right,
like
we're always looking to evolve. You know, we could sign a couple big guys here.
Seems like every update I get is Cohen bitching about how terrible the negotiations are going, and that's
and
the
Pete
only
Alonzo
thing I see.
Saying I don't want to go to the Mets.
Like that is, I
oh,
feel
well,
like
you might have to, buddy.
Yeah, I mean. Again, I feel like we're kind of at a crossroads where it's like one of you's got a cave because apparently no other team wants to give you that money either. So
they seem like the massively dysfunctional husband and wife that, man, you know.
Can you guys just do it already?
Yeah. Can you just go in the back and bang it out?
Yeah,
like,
come on.
This is it. Like, you both are going to need to take some. So the question is, I'm going to honestly ask, if Pete Alonso doesn't sign for the Mets, where else is he going?
I mean, as far as who needs a first baseman, I mean,
Cooley
like,
floated to me today, the Yankees.
Oh, God, of course he did.
And I was like, you already have two first
You're
basemen.
You're like, why would you want your rival team to sign
And them? You already have a DH.
I don't know. I mean, Cardinals need a first baseman now that
they just traded theirs.
Yeah, I mean, that was what
well, I guess he left as a free agent. My bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. But again, I think they're trying to offload contracts, not give more money away at this point. And, you know, hence why Nolan Arenado, who's also in the news, he might be on his way to another team here. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of teams that, like, need a first baseman.
Angels, they're on the list.
Yeah, I mean, the Angels are always buyers. I mean, they're
randomly.
I saw a prediction of war for all the teams in baseball of this year compared to last year, like how many more games they might win this year. And the Angels were like 12 more wins this year, but every team in the AL West was still ahead of them. So somebody was like, sick, we're going to win more games and finish last.
Yeah. Not wouldn't be surprised.
But you're right. I could see the Angels. But the Angels, if there's anything we've seen the Angels have done this offseason, they've made moves, trades, signings, etc. But they're not doing the Josh Hamiltons of the day. They're not doing the big contracts for what's that guy's name? CJ Wilson?
Oh, yeah, like Jared Weaver, CJ Wilson back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah,
kind of $100-plus
like,
million dollar on.
Yeah,
Sean
they, like,
Figgins.
No, the Mariners, shut up. The Mariners are the ones that gave him the money, buddy.
But they aren't doing the big contract like they did back in the day.
Well, and again, they gave that to Anthony Rendon also, so I mean.
They did, yeah. After giving that to Pujols. Did you guys?
I did see the other day that Anthony Rendon had some bad fish tacos, and he's on the 60-day deal.
Yeah, I bet he is. Burnt his tongue on hot chocolate. I saw that one, too.
Did you guys consider the fact that as they're both kind of dropping as what were two of the top available free agent hitters, did you guys kind of consider that they might be very comparable to Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, you know, spring training signings last year that were supposed to get a ton of money up front in the offseason, ended up firing their agents, but now they'll become options to other teams that maybe weren't looking at them as hard before. I know the Red Sox were in on Pete Alonso a little bit earlier in the offseason. Well, now that his price is dropping, now that these guys are, to quote former Mariners president Kevin Mather, coming to them with hat in hand, basically trying to get a contract, I could see Boston in. I could see New York swooping in at the last second, getting a deal done. The Mets, mind you, not the Yankees. But outside of like the Angels and the Red Sox, maybe the Cubs on that list. I don't know where Alonso fits.
I'm going to also throw out the San Francisco Giants, possibly.
They're the Gigantes.
They're not the Gigantes. I mean, they've been trying to get stars, big players last couple of years and seem to be, you know, striking out.
Correa, Judge, Shohei.
I mean,
They got money to spend.
And they don't have a first baseman, to my knowledge of that, you know, so.
I think it's great that Jordan brought up the Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell thing. I think it's different with hitters, though. I think the pitchers, for sure. You know, I could be totally wrong, but I think it's a little different with hitters. But I'm with you. I do wonder, like, if it's February 4th. I mean, pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're not on a team, and you're basically negotiating against yourself.
So I have next team odds.
Because the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays look like a team that would sign Pete Alonso if they move Vladdy. But they're clearly not going to move Vladdy, at least now.
But also, I mean,
they might move him at the deadline when they realize they suck again. Oh, no, we suck again.
But also, I mean, hypothetically, you could just have Vlad stay at first and have Pete Alonso DH.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a prototypical
Vladdy
DH.
Vladdy can also play some third base, Joe.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sure he could.
There you go.
I've seen him. It's not pretty.
So these odds are as recent as January 24th. So I can try and find maybe some more updated ones, but next team odds, plus 175, Toronto Blue Jays. And then it's New York Mets after them at plus 250.
Interesting.
Angels plus 500. Giants plus 600. And then the field plus 400. So, I mean, we're kind of right on the mark as far as, you know, the teams that...
But what's the field's bullpen look like? Is that a team you really want to sign with?
The field?
Yeah. I mean, they got starters.
I really like their
outlook. Jack Flaherty's off the market, dude.
Imagine that team name. We're just the field.
The field.
I was trying to think of Portland baseball team names the other day.
The field.
No. The Crows.
The Crows. No. Oh.
Yes.
Swifts.
I saw 500,000 crows flying through the sky the other day, and it looked very menacing and very scary. And
those
I was
are
like,
Swifts.
I was like, that'd be a good mascot because we would then murder teams.
I'm in favor so hard of the Green Sox. Let's go classic but new. We've already got the Red Sox. We've got the White Sox. Portland with all of its trees and all of the greenery around here. Yeah, you can make a weed reference if you want. I think the Portland Green Sox would be the best name that you could ever choose. But Jordan, we're not going to do it.
Jordan, I'm a big fan of you.
That's a dumb idea?
It was a terrible take.
Why? Why is that a terrible take?
Because we don't need more socks.
Yeah.
We don't need more stupid team names either.
I know. Just do the Mavericks.
The Washington Nationals is dumb.
The Crows would be cool.
If it's, you know, if it's the Portland Mavericks, I could dig.
No, because nobody likes crows, just like nobody likes spiders. So we're the Guardians now because spiders are scary.
You could have the Portland Gothic people showing up to games dressed as the Crow.
I like the Portland Strippers, honestly.
Actually,
that's actually not a bad baseball name.
Yeah.
And you can make Portland it very cartoony.
We'll strip you down of your... team. I was about to swear on air.
Anyways, Pete Alonso, huh? I mean, we were pretty spot on as far as teams outside of my Cardinals.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to go to the Mets. They're going to figure this out,
I don't
right?
know. I mean,
right? They got to figure this out.
I mean, they spent a lot of money.
If the Mets
Alonso
don't have Pete, hot take exposed, maybe. I don't think so. The Mets aren't very good. Who's throwing the baseball? They got Schultzy and me as a 3-4 starter.
Yep.
Like, I don't feel good about this.
Yeah, I don't know, but something's got to happen sooner, or else you're going to end up with a similar situation last year. Is he Boris?
Scott Boris.
Oh, yeah, both of them are Boris.
Is Pete Alonso Boris guy?
Of course he is.
Both of them. It's the same. That's why I looked at Blake Snell and Montgomery, and I understand that they're pitchers, not hitters, but literally Arizona was not an option for Jordan Montgomery until how long into spring training?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, yeah, nobody was talking about it in the offseason. So outside of this list, I mean, hell, maybe it won't happen, but the Mariners would creep back into the conversation if he got cheap enough. Maybe a Texas, you know, they could use a first baseman, throw them in the mix.
Yeah, so we'll sneak back. We'll keep an eye on this and kind of keep track of Pete Alonso. I mean, he's the last domino to fall, but there is one more domino. Pete's the big one, but there's another one that still could land somewhere. And a GM came out and kind of said something that revealed his hand more than he might have realized did. We'll get to that next, but first we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports.
That's all we got. One damn hit.
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into the most gaslighting of gaslighting you could ever imagine. And that's coming after 560 win percentage. So we got a loaded second hour, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. But I want to kind of get into the Astros situation. And it's funny, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on when you talk about dynasties. And by no means do I want to call the Astros a dynasty, but they are perennial. They have been perennial for damn near a decade now. Okay. In 2015, they were ahead of schedule. I remember watching them against, I believe, the Royals in the playoffs. And the Royals beat them, but that Astros team was really feisty. And then you fast forward, they win a couple rings, the trash cans, blah, 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 blah. But we're seeing it right now. Super Bowls this weekend. The Chiefs, that dynasty, going for three in a row.
And they will.
We're kind of seeing the Warriors fall apart a little bit as that dynasty is starting to end. The Astros I find extremely fascinating right now as they seem to be holding on to Jose Altuve. Obviously, Yordan Alvarez is their future as a hitter, but they just dealt Kyle Tucker, who I know people don't love baseball as much as they love basketball, but in my mind, dealing Kyle Tucker is kind of like dealing Luka to me. Like, Kyle Tucker is potentially a top 10 player in the game, and he's a kid, and you can lock him up for a long time and be a centerpiece. I know that's weird to say.
I mean,
because Luka's international, and he's way more of a superstar. It's so much harder to be a superstar in baseball than it is in basketball.
It's not a bad analogy, though.
But Kyle Tucker, like, I would die. Like, the Yankees are like, the Astros traded him to the Cubs, and he's a free agent? Ooh, boy. Can't wait to offer him $1 billion next year. Like, I don't understand what they're doing. And then Dana Brown, their GM, comes out today, and he's talking about Alex Bregman and trying to sign Alex Bregman. And he's basically kind of saying, we've lost Bregman, quote unquote. And I just, when you see teams like the Lakers, when you see teams like the Yankees, and even now in new dynasties of the Chiefs or the Warriors, you know, Steve Kerr's come out and said, we need help. We need more. And he's like, we need to keep this going because we have our guy in Steph, and we need to keep that going as best we can. They're actively trying. To where the Astros look at it from, we got Framber Valdez, and we got Jose Altuve, and Yordan Alvarez. Like, Jose's going to sell bobbleheads, and Yordan's going to smash home runs, especially in the playoffs. Like, that's great, but they're out on Bregman. I find the Astros just absolutely fascinating that this team is just crumbling, in my opinion, in front of us.
It has been a bizarre offseason in that sense because, yeah, I mean, you're going to be losing two of your stalwart players. And
you already lost Correa. You already lost Springer.
Yeah.
Verlander's gone. Cole's gone. Where do you go?
You know, I mean, they do have Jeremy Peña at shortstop.
Sure.
I mean,
he is a World Series MVP.
Yes. You know, but again, outside of Altuve, Peña, Yordan Alvarez, Framber. I'm trying to think of one of their other pitchers. Oh, for God's sakes, he's on the tip of my tongue. White dude. I'm totally blanking on his name, but you're right. It's not
McCormick.
No, McCormick is he's that center fielder.
Yeah, sorry.
For the love of God, it's killing me right now.
I'm on it.
Hunter Brown?
Maybe.
Anyways.
Let's just go with that.
Sure. Hunter Brown. Sounds right. It's just a lot of like, all right, how are you going to rebuild this back up? Like you
Hunter
are.
Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown, who sucked to start.
Christian Javier.
Not bad as well. And they obviously they sucked to start the year. Hunter Brown did not start the year well, but he finished strong.
But again, it's like when you keep losing guys like that, is it like, and winning, it's not like you have the farm system to replace them like you did when you were losing 100 games right. and you were able to get
the
all
farm
those,
system yeah. is how you got to where you are.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, again, I'm with you. It's like you're not rebuilding, like you're not replenishing this talent in any way, it seems to me.
And I don't know how you start to talk about replenishing when you just traded what should have been the future of your team. Because let's not forget, when Jeremy Pena was the World Series MVP, it was kind of like, oh, we got rid of Correa, but we got this kid. Ooh, all right, plug and play.
It's probably better than Correa.
Don't have to pay for Correa because he took a lot of money, so we got this guy. But we have this right fielder that is a transitional, like, top-level talent, and he plays for the Cubs now. Like, I keep harking back onto it. I know it's stupid to say, so I want to preface with that. But trading Kyle Tucker is like trading Luka Doncic in the sense that he is 24, 25 years old. And outside of a weird foot injury, he is the cornerstone of your team. So how are you supposed to sell to me that the Astros are going to be a team that is competitive when you just traded your best player because you were too afraid to pay him?
Now, to be fair, and I'll let you go here in a second, Schultz. Okay. Looking at their FanGraphs starting lineup so far, they're 1-9. I mean, Isak Paredes, jury's still out if he's going to be able to replace what Alex Bregman gave you. And yeah, I'm kind of with you there, as that's going to be hard to do. They did get Christian Walker.
I love that signing.
Christian Walker
is... the Mariners would have done that signing.
Christian Walker is 34 years old, though. So keep in mind, it's like how many years left of Christian Walker are you going to get there? Again, we mentioned Jeremy Pena. Yennier Diaz had a good year for them as a catcher. But it's not, you know, you're not going to lean on a catcher to be your offensive stalwart.
But boy, the bottom of that is trash.
Yeah, I mean, McCormick is not bad in center field, but he's not a great hitter. Taylor Trammell, Jake Myers. I mean, we can't forget
Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman. If you add those guys, that roster looks pretty damn good.
You cannot forget, obviously, outside of Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, we forgot about Ronel Blanco, who threw a no-hitter last year.
Yes, that's right, did. But also was...
got suspended for cheating.
The only Astro that has ever atoned for their crimes?
It is a very different-looking Astros team. Are there good players on this team?
For
yes,
sure.
But this
for
is
sure.
not the Astros that we have seen throughout the years, and you wonder if... When we do our divisional preview, which we actually probably should get started here soon because we're not going to be here next week, and I think we're missing another show before the start of the season.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we should probably get on that.
I'll probably still take the Astros to win the division.
Because, yeah, there is something weird about that. But let's think about this. As I look at this, I got FanGraphs up right now. The last time the Astros were in a World Series, they got one player on the roster.
I mean, let me...
They got one.
Like, from this roster right now?
They got one. And it's an aging Jose Altuve, that they're talking about putting in left field.
You're saying players from their first World Series?
No.
Their latest World Series.
Well, I mean, Jeremy Pena was on that.
Oh, sorry.
And McCormick was on that World Series.
Yeah, wasn't Alvarez, too?
Oh, hot takes exposed.
Yeah, so hear me out. And actually,
weed down.
You're kind of...
But do you know where I'm getting at, though? It's like that, nucleus is gone.
It's, yes.
It's absolutely gone. And you had one player to be a part of that you've decided you didn't want to pay, so you shipped him out.
Yeah, you're kind of getting into what I wanted to do by putting tinfoil hat on just a little bit here. And really, just if you look at what's happening, all right, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is the truth of what's happening. Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker aren't good in the locker room, or they don't want them in the locker room in Houston anymore.
Right,
and
right.
Maybe you could say Alex Bregman. I'll say it because I always do when I say his name, associated with the sign-stealing scandal. He was the face of that, and the apology that he gave is still not forgotten by baseball fans all over the world. If I'm Houston, I don't mind washing my hands of that guy. You know what? Let him move on. Let him sign somewhere else. And beyond that, maybe those two aren't working out in the locker room. But if you're asking why, there's literally no other explanation than that or a GM being stupid as hell.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher, but again, like I said, I'll probably end up taking them to win the division, and it's a different looking Astros team. There is still talent there. I don't mind that 1-3 starting pitching staff.
Framber. You know I love Valdez.
You wonder if you're going to get Spencer Arrighetti, to have a good season as that fourth starter. Right. Again, it will be an interesting year.
That being said, speaking of Bregman. If the Astros are out, where is he going? And I'll tell you, from a personal note, I am absolutely terrified. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy behind the glass, 1080 The Fan. I used to have this very, very, I don't used to. I still do.
Can you say that?
If you come up with a beat, and you know, it's 770 and 4-4. I'm worldwide. Act like y'all don't know.
213-314.
Yeah, if you got a song and you're like, man, I think this beat is sick. I got a good flow on it. I think this could be a hit. And then I'm the producer and I walk in and say, yeah, why don't we call Nate Dogg and have him throw a hook on that?
Dude, that guy could sing about damn near anything in melodic style.
Peppers, baby.
With feta cheese.
They got
cheese
some
crumbles.
Feta cheese. Some pepper on them. I got peppers.
Those are delightful, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Shout out my wife.
Very good. Very good.
Guys, Joe, you're in the American League East.
Yes.
Oh, we're American League guys. I always forget that. Schultzy,
this has been an American League show for 10 years strong.
That is true. Schultzy, you are the American League West.
Yes, sir.
I am the American League Central. What is the team currently right now that you are most afraid of?
In our respective
In your
divisions.
Division. Yeah. So it's like, who's the team going into this year? You're kind of like, ugh, I got to deal with those guys.
Ourselves.
Yes. Yeah,
we're gonna play great.
Okay, you can't do that.
It's great regular season, then get swept.
Got to be a different team. I think I know your answers, but Joe, who's the team in your division that you're like, ugh, I got to deal with those guys?
I mean, they just made the World Series, so I'm worried about the Yankees.
Of course.
They did a great job replacing Soto. Like, they made great trades.
We talked on Dirt and Sprague during the holidays that we think the Yankees are better.
Yeah.
Even without Soto.
Again, it's a team sport. While one dude at bat definitely can help your team when you are able to get the second best closer in baseball. when you're able to get talent in pitching and hitting and to kind of fill the gaps. I mean, yeah, they had a great offseason, unfortunately.
Schultzy?
I mean, I want to say the Astros, but damn, 3+ teams have added, other than the Mariners in the AL West this year. The Astros have added pieces, maybe taken a couple away. Oakland, well,
I would argue the Sacramento A's are your biggest threat.
The A's might end up being
Oakland team that
one
you speak
to nine.
Of.
Yeah, who are these Oakland guys? No, but Brent Rooker,
Butler.
Oh my God, they've got Langoliers. They've got JJ Bladé. Like, they're actually sneaky,
Luis
scary.
Luis Severino,
and they signed an ace, and they've got a nice closer as well. So. Maybe the A's.
Okay, well, I've got one as a Cleveland Guardian, Cleveland Spider, Cleveland Indian, whatever you want to say. I've got one, and that, my friends, is the answer is the Detroit Tigers. And boy, am I scared. I actually think the Detroit Tigers right now, and it's funny that the Lions are kind of doing this in the NFL because it's the same city. I feel like the Detroit Tigers are sending a shot across the American League saying, we're here to play. They've got young kids everywhere. Riley Green is 1 to 2 great seasons away from being an absolute superstar in this league. They just signed Jack Flaherty, which puts their 1-2 punch, Tarik Skubal and Jack Flaherty. That is an excellent 1-2 punch. Flaherty already knows the system because he was there before he got traded to the Dodgers last year. And as we talked about with the Astros, if they're out on Bregman, come on down. The starting third baseman for the Detroit Tigers is probably going to be Alex Bregman.
Wow.
And I think if Bregman signs there, and I do think he will, I think the Tigers are the second-best team in the American League. And that's no shot against your Orioles, Joe.
Well, no, they're first.
Your Orioles on paper are the second-best team. But they've got issues.
They need better starting pitching.
They need better starting pitching, and we've seen them be great in the regular season and kind of lose it in the postseason.
Poop themselves in postseason.
To where the Tigers are two outs away from beating Cleveland, who was two outs away from beating the Yankees. The Detroit Tigers, to me right now, are the scariest, most sleeping giant in the American League. Once I saw Flaherty sign with them, I went, yep, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Go get Bregman, and you've done it.
Well, how about that? Like, what a move. Like, you trade him in the middle of the season because you think your season is falling apart, and you get a couple prospects. One of the guys, I was just looking it up because I was curious what they got in that. One of the guys is their top five prospect now that they got from the Dodgers in that deal. And then you make a run. You build confidence in this team and this young team and this franchise that, like, hey, we're actually pretty damn good. Let's have the best August, September out of anybody in the MLB. And, oh, now let's just bring Jack Flaherty back and sign him to a two-year deal. So, thanks, Dodgers. Like,
quietly sign Gleyber Torres.
Now, granted, the Dodgers, you know, they got what they needed out of him. He wasn't, like, stellar in the postseason, the playoffs. He was good, though.
But he was good down the stretch in the regular season. And he had a couple great postseason moments that just weren't the World Series.
Right. So it was, I hear you, man. The Tigers, buy the stock now before the season starts.
I think this team, in a seven-game series against the Yankees, my heart really wants to take Detroit. And that's hard to say. Because when you look at your division of your team, Schultzy, your team is the Mariners, right? And you look around at the Angels, the A's, the Rangers, and the Astros. You have your lineup of hatred to least hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, in the East, you have your lineup of who you hate the most down to the team you don't care about. As a longtime Cleveland Indian fan and a current Guardian fan, I never hated the Royals because the Royals were never good. And then in 14 and 15, when they got good, I was like, you know what? Good for you. We're trash. Have it. Good for you guys. The White Sox, burn in hell. Twins, burn in hell. If there's an extra layer of hell, that's the Detroit Tigers. I'm terrified. I think they have an amazing team put together right now. If Dan Campbell was their manager,
he might be. Maybe
I would take him to win the World Series, but they don't.
Maybe he just
shaves his mustache. They have AJ Hinch, who has won multiple World Series and let people cheat to do it. The Tigers, I think, are scary, and mark my word, they will sign Alex Bregman.
You're calling it?
I'm calling it.
And if they do,
I think it's the smartest move for them. His value is now down. The Yankees aren't interested. The Mets aren't interested. The Astros basically said, we're out on it. If the Tigers sign Alex Bregman, that's the second best team in the American League, and it's not close.
I'm really trying to think. I mean, yeah, it's hard to dispute that. Again, you might be able to kind of flip-flop around Yankees, Orioles, them.
I love your Orioles. I mean, I hate the starting rotation. I love the bullpen.
Guardians.
Are going to do Guardians things. That's what we do all the time. And then every once in a while, you get to a World Series.
And quite frankly, I can't discount the Astros. One of those, I'll see it when I'll believe it when I see it. And I'll believe it when I see it beyond just the first month and a half of the MLB season, because we all thought they were done for last year.
They were toast.
And then sure enough, here they come. Death by a thousand cuts. They have the potential to be one of the best teams in the AL this year.
I'm going to go up to A&A for fan madness, as I always do. You all should come too.
Hell yeah.
I've been considering taking time off Thursday, Friday. I've been wanting to do that for years.
Yeah, I have Thursday off, and I don't work on Friday till 3. So I'll be up there on Thursday all day, and Friday at least for a little bit. I might go up there and futures bet the Tigers.
Like to win the AL? Or like just win total?
To win the World Series.
Okay.
Jeez, what is that, like plus 4,000 odds right now?
I might.
Let's relax. Let's relax, bud.
I might.
I mean, we can
get good value on it. Just put $10 down and win, you know, $25K.
I mean, we are
is
less
that how
than
betting works.
We are less than 2 months away from the start of the MLB season. So I think it is fair to look at odds.
2,900. Okay. I thought that they'd be a little bit worse.
10 bucks on 2,900? Did I not just say that? Win 25K?
No, it would be like 10 bucks wins $290.
No, I'd put 100 bucks down to.
Oh, yeah. Then you'd get 29.
Then that's 29K.
There you go. Yeah. Math. It can be difficult. How about your Mariners, though? Plus 2,600.
That's better than the Tigers?
Yeah.
Thing. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Second best rotation.
Did Jerry DePoto call somebody and like get them a nice feature piece on Edgar Martinez and
juice those odds
something?
Up a bit?
Speaking of Jerry DePoto, have you ever been lied to in front of your face? Have you ever had sex with somebody else's wife in front of your face? Have you ever just absolutely pooped all over somebody's face and told them, this is okay?
You sound like a lawyer.
Loaded second hour.
Call this number now.
Loaded.
You should be compensated.
You should be compensated. 10 of the Fan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.